Yeah, it's awesome to be back. I don't know about you, but you know when you go away and you know you're sleeping in multiple beds and then you come back to your own bed and you're like, oh, this is just so much better. You almost forget how good your own bed is. Last Sunday I was down in Walla Walla, Washington. So I have some friends, not friends, they're family, down there. It's all the way down in southeast Washington. Have some family down there. And one of my cousins, he's a Lutheran pastor. And I've never been able to go and sit in a service, and I was able to go down to Walla Walla and go to a church service and hear my cousin Mark preach. And it was such a blessing to go and do that. My cousin Mark is a few years older than me, and I grew up watching him, you know, serve the Lord with all his heart. Never been able to hear him preach. It was like so cool to be able to go to his church down there in Washington. Got to go to pastor's camp this last week. And some of you guys are like, there's a thing called pastor's camp? Yeah. We have like this family camp, and all of us pastors get together, and it was a blast. Sometimes you don't know what you're missing until it's gone, kind of like this bed that I was talking about, getting to my own bed. We went out on this trip, and I always, you know, I always take my own pillow with me. Does anybody do that? Yeah. Take your own pillow with you? Yeah, because I always find it's like you're in these places, and it's like you're using this really, the pillow just doesn't quite fit right. So I bring my own pillow. Catherine forgot to bring her own pillow, and she was just like, she was complaining about it the whole time. I felt horrible for it. You don't know what you have until it's gone. This morning we're talking, the topic is clear. You know, when it comes to the five senses that we have, sometimes you don't know what you have until it's gone. Talking specifically about your sight, talking about your hearing. You know, that's, when it comes to our hearing, when it comes to our sight, that is something that we kind of take for granted for many of us. Not all of us, but many of us. We just, you know, we're used to being able to hear clearly. We're used to being able to see clearly. For me, I went to an optometrist a couple years ago, and they checked my eyesight, and they said, you're 20/20, you're good to go. And it's been a couple years. And, you know, maybe as I get older, I'm sure my eyesight is going. And as it's going, I probably don't even recognize it. It's happening so slow that I don't recognize the fact that I need glasses. Catherine uses glasses, though. She doesn't wear them very often. It's because it's very, very slight. But Catherine is nearsighted, which means, you know, if she has a book that she's reading, she's doing fine because she can see really well up close. But if things are far away, she needs to put her glasses on. Most of the time, she doesn't use those glasses, but when she goes to a movie, she puts those glasses on so she can see just a little bit more clearly. When we're traveling on the road and we're driving and it's her turn to drive, she puts those glasses on so she can see just a little bit more clearly, and oftentimes she puts those glasses on, and she's like, wow, it's like I'm watching and I'm looking at things in HD. It's like high definition. She typically doesn't recognize the fact that she's not seeing things very clearly in the distance. She doesn't recognize that. It's not until she puts those glasses on that she recognizes, oh, wow, like things are so much clearer now. Maybe it can be like that with your hearing as well. You know, I know that as you get older, your hearing starts to go. And I've heard many different stories of people when they're in a room and there's a lot going on. Maybe there's music happening. There's different people that are talking all at one time. And when that's happening, it sounds like it's all a big jumble of noise. And they can't hear very clearly. And they need the hearing aids, and the hearing aids help to hear a little bit clearer. But as time goes on, it's just like you just desire quiet because things just become a jumble of noise. Today we're going to be jumping into a couple of different stories in the book of Mark. Mark was a follower of Jesus, and he wrote about the life of Jesus, what he saw firsthand and what he heard from the disciples, Peter and James and John, and he wrote these stories down. We're going to be hitting two stories today that are both very, very similar. One's in Mark chapter 7, one's in Mark chapter 8. Now, the reason why we're hitting both of them is because of how close they are. There's differences. Jesus is dealing with different people, from different backgrounds and different areas of the country. But their stories are very, very similar. One is a man who is healed, who is deaf and has a speech impediment. The other is a man who is blind. The first one is Mark chapter 7, and it starts in verse 31. And it says, Jesus left Tyre and went up to Sidon before going back to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the 10 towns. Now, this might not be significant to you, but Jesus is traveling in northern part, north of Israel. He's in Gentile country. Jesus was a Jew, and you know what? He spent the majority of time in towns and in areas that were mainly Jewish. But something that we sometimes skim over in the Bible is that Jesus actually did spend as well significant time amongst people who were not like him. Different ethnicities, different backgrounds. And we see he's in Tyre, it's a northwest coast in modern day Syria. He's in Sidon, which is in Syria as well. And then he goes to Galilee, he goes to the very eastern part of Galilee, to these 10 towns that were majority Gentile. And even though Jesus was a Jew, the news was getting out beyond his own ethnic group, beyond his own religion, to people who were outside. And people were hearing about him. And it says a deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him. And the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus led him away from the crowd so they could be alone. Isn't that interesting? Jesus led him away from the crowd. Jesus wanted to have a moment just with him. He put his fingers into the man's ears. That'd be awkward. Hopefully he didn't have too much earwax. Then spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha. I probably said that totally wrong. Which means be opened. Instantly, the man could hear perfectly and his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. They were completely amazed and said again and again, everything he does is wonderful. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who cannot speak. Now I'm going to jump. Now we're going to jump to another story. It's Mark chapter 8, and this starts in verse 22. It says, when they arrived in Bethsaida, now this is Jewish country, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and to heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Interesting, he did something very similar. He's taking him away from the crowd so they can be alone. Then spitting on the man's eyes, again, an awkward moment. Someone spit on my eyes, I wouldn't be too happy with that. Spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? The man looked around. Yes, he said, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away saying, don't go back into the village on your way home. There's a lot of things that we can grab out of the story. One of the things that struck me when I was reading these stories is this example of intercession that we see in this story. Intercession is an interesting word. We don't typically use this word modern day times, you know, on the street, don't use the word intercession, but it comes from the word intercede. You know, when someone is struggling with something and they need help, what do you need to do? You intercede on their behalf. Maybe you've seen someone that they're struggling to get down a set of stairs and you come along, they need help to make sure that they don't fall, and you come along and maybe you put your arm around them or you link arms with them and you strengthen them and you help them down those set of stairs. You've interceded on their behalf. I know in my life I've had many, many times when people intercede on my behalf. I know whenever I have car issues, there are many people that end up helping me intercede on my behalf because I'm not very good trying to fix my own car. In fact, I'm not very good with my hands in a lot of different ways. I was redoing my driveway this last spring, and you know who you are. You came and you interceded on my behalf. I was going to do it on my own, and I had a couple friends come and help me, and they interceded, helping me redo my driveway. I needed help. Do you know that we need help? Oftentimes, we're a culture, especially here in the West, where we like to do things on our own. We say that we are okay, I'm fine on my own. But sometimes we need friends to come along and intercede on our behalf. And in this story, you have a situation where these two people, one is deaf, and he has a speech impediment, and Jesus is coming through. Jesus is coming through town, and his friends know about it. They know what Jesus does, and they intercede on his behalf. If they didn't intercede on his behalf, very likely this man would have missed out. He's deaf. He's not hearing the stories about Jesus. He's not hearing the rumors about what Jesus is doing. He's not hearing the fact that Jesus is passing through. He's helpless in his situation. And his friends come along and they're like, we need to bring our friend to Jesus. Jesus, can you lay your hands on our friend? We have another story here of a man who's blind. Maybe he's hearing the stories of Jesus, but he can't see where Jesus is. He can't find his way to Jesus. And he needs his friends to come along to help him to find Jesus. Jesus, can you lay your hands upon our friend? He needs to see again. When I read this story, I can't help but get the sense of the need that our world has for us to intercede on their behalf. We have an opportunity to guide people to Jesus. For people who have not heard, who have not had an opportunity to hear about Jesus, to give them an opportunity to hear about Jesus. To help people who cannot see clearly. Maybe they can see clearly physically, but spiritually they are blind. We have a world that is dying, that has never seen the truth. And they need us to intercede on their behalf, to bring them to Jesus. And there's a lot of ways that we can intercede. You know, there are people in our church that have the gift of intercession, intercessory prayer. They pray all the time. God has placed a burden on their heart to be praying for the church, be praying for the community, be praying for you and for me. And they're interceding. They're praying on your behalf. And maybe you don't have that same gifting or the same unction, but God has still called you to pray. You can pray for your neighbors. You can pray for your friends. You can be praying for your family members, interceding on their behalf. They can't pray on their own, but you can pray for them to intercede on their behalf. They need to see the kingdom of God. They need to see people living out their faith in front of them. And then sometimes they need them to bring them to church. Hey, come to church with me. They'd never step foot in this place. You know what? For many of us who've kind of gone to church our whole lives, church is kind of a normality. But for the average person, actually, church is kind of scary. You know that? Maybe you haven't thought about it. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I can't believe I'm sitting here. And church kind of seems like a place that, you know, other people can go to, but not me. And sometimes it just needs someone to come alongside. Hey, why don't you come with me? Why don't you come with me? Seeing needs in our community. There are huge needs in our community. And you know what the church is called to do? The church is called to intercede, to do something about those needs, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and to intercede on behalf of those within our community that can't help themselves. When I look at this story, I see an example of healing. An example of healing. You know what's interesting is that both groups of people in this story brought their friends to Jesus and said, Jesus, can you lay your hands upon them? They had an idea that if Jesus could just touch them, that they'd be healed. Jesus touched them in very awkward and very unorthodox ways in this story, but he touched them. In many stories throughout the Bible where Jesus healed people, he touched them. He laid their hands upon them. And then Jesus sent his disciples out and he said, go pray for the sick. Lay your hands upon the sick and heal them. He gave that authority to his disciples. And so maybe you're here, maybe you've seen people touch other people and pray for healing and say, that's a little bit awkward. I don't really want people touching me. But there's an example that Jesus shows of going and laying your hands upon the sick and seeing people healed. You know, sometimes we're pretty independent, like I said, and we're like, God, if you want to heal me, I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to pray to you on my own. And God, I want you to heal me. And God heals in many different ways. But you know, sometimes we just need to have the courage to reach out. Maybe it's to a friend. Maybe it's to leaders in the church. Maybe it's to someone else, another Christian. Say, can you pray for me? Can you pray for healing for me? And take that step of faith. These friends of this blind and this deaf person had to take a step of faith and bring their friend to Jesus. And their friend had to be willing to go. Jesus is still alive and well, and he still heals today. And we need to be willing what Jesus did and lay our hands upon the sick. And you know what? Sometimes, to be honest, sometimes we feel the pressure of that and feel like, I can't heal anybody. There's nothing special with me. I can't make that happen. And I just want to encourage you today that, like, welcome. You're part of the group of, you know, you're welcome to the boat. We're all in the same situation. You know, I pray for people all the time as a pastor. And one thing that I've come to is a place in my life where I feel almost no pressure. I feel no pressure. Because I recognize the fact that I can't heal anybody, it's Jesus who heals people. And if nothing happens, that's okay, because that wasn't up to me, that's up to God. God asked me to be obedient. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to pray for the sick. I'm going to lay hands upon the sick. I'm going to believe in faith that Jesus is going to heal. And it's all up to him. There's no pressure on me. So if you feel like, man, I can't do that because what if nothing happens or I'm not spiritual enough, that's okay. None of us are spiritual enough. Jesus just asks us to be obedient. Pray for one another and be willing to be prayed for. Another thing that I see in this story that's really, really interesting is I think that Jesus is saying, meet the need and forget the recognition. Meet the need and forget the recognition. You know, it's very interesting. Both of these stories, Jesus took these individuals. There was crowds of people in the villages that he was in, and he took them aside and in a very private way met their needs. Jesus wasn't interested in the recognition. In fact, he kind of ran away from it. The people of Jesus' time were watching what Jesus was doing, and they were saying, is he the Messiah? Is he the king to come? And they were wanting to take him and make him king. And Jesus was like, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't need the recognition. I'm wanting to meet the needs of people. I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I do things, I kind of like the recognition, if I'm totally honest with you. It's like when I'm at home and I do the dishes, it's really nice when someone recognizes that I do it. When I clean the toilets, it's like, hey, you clean the toilets, good job. Oh, I like that recognition. When I make a good meal, I like the recognition. People say, oh, that's a good meal. There's a lot of things that I want the recognition for, and Jesus is like, can you set the recognition aside, Matt? Meet the need and forget the recognition. We see this scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus says, don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. He's like, man, I want you to go out. I want you to make a difference, and I want you to meet the needs. I want you to intercede on people's behalf. But don't do it publicly. Don't have that motivation to receive that recognition. You know, I really believe that Gateway is called out into our community to meet the needs of our community. But you know what? One of the mistakes the church can make at times is that sometimes we have ulterior motives in doing that. We can put on a great event. Maybe it's at Easter, or maybe it's at Christmas, or maybe there's just needs in the community that we want to go out and we want to meet those needs, but sometimes there's an ulterior motive. I'm addressing the elephant in the room that oftentimes Christians don't want to talk about, but people who aren't Christians recognize, they're like, the church is just doing that so they can get more butts in the seats. The church is just doing that so that they can get more people in the building, so they get more money in the offering plate. And the world looks at that and says, that's what they're doing. And you know, the church needs to go the exact opposite direction. We need to be meeting the needs of our community without looking for anything in return. Jesus, this is what you've called us to do in the community, and it has nothing to do with getting more people in our building. It has nothing to do with getting more money in the offering plate. God, I'm not going to look for any recognition. The church isn't going to look for anything in return. We're just going to go and do it. Another thing that I see in the story is this aspect that when we see God moving, we see Jesus operating, that we shouldn't put Jesus or we shouldn't put God in a box. This is a really obvious one. Don't put God in a box. We read this story now and we're like, yeah, okay, I've read that story before, but can you imagine being there? People bring these people to Jesus. Jesus, can you heal our blind man, our blind friend? She's like, sure. Sticks his fingers in his ear, spits on his fingers, and reaches out and grabs his tongue. Extremely awkward. Jesus, why couldn't you just like touch his shoulder, be healed, or just speak it out and be healed? And you know what? There are times in the Bible where he does that. Jesus comes along and he literally spits in the man's eyes and lays his hands upon him. It's interesting. In this story, you see the creative divinity of Jesus. It brings you back to the story of Genesis. You know when he creates Adam? He creates him out of the mud and the dust of the earth. You see God using the very natural elements of earth and breathing life into it, and man is created. And when you see this story, it's almost like Jesus is hearkening to that creation. He's saying, I want you to look at this situation. I'm going to touch your ears, and they're going to be physically going to be healed. I'm going to spit on my hand and touch your tongue, and that creative healing from Jesus. And he totally blows everybody's expectations out of the water. God does different things in different ways, and sometimes it really, really surprises us. And we can put God in a box that God operates this way, and whenever we do that, typically he's going to do something that's totally outside of our understanding. And you know, sometimes we can even get caught up with that even in church and say, church needs to look this way, ministry needs to look this way, the service needs to look this way. And I think that Jesus speaks in and say, I can operate in so many different ways. Don't put me in a box. I am creative. And the people of God, when they have the Holy Spirit living inside them, are going to be creative too, and they're going to find creative ways of ministering. Don't put God in a box. When I see this story, I see the importance of experiencing Jesus. The importance of experiencing Jesus. You know what? The church has been really great at times of teaching people about God. We read the Bible and we teach the Word of God and we want to gain knowledge. Gaining knowledge isn't a bad thing. But you know what? It wasn't going to do any good for that deaf and that blind man to just know about Jesus and to sit in his home and gain knowledge about everything that Jesus was doing. You know what they needed to do? They needed to go and they needed to experience him. They needed to come in contact with him. They needed Jesus to touch them. They needed to hear the voice of the living God in their lives. And you know, my heart for you is that your experience wouldn't just be gaining head knowledge, but that you would experience the living God in your life. And I believe that that is what God wants for us. You know, when we plan church services, maybe you come in here and you're like, you know, why do we have to do this singing thing? And like, people are raising their hands and it seems to be emotional. And you know what? Part of the reason why we do this worship thing is because we believe that that God wants to come and you have an opportunity to experience God here when we gather together. This isn't just a religious ritual that we go through of singing songs. I've said this before. If you want to gather together and sing songs, there's places that you can go in town and do karaoke. But we're not just doing karaoke here. We're reaching out to the living God, believing that He wants to reach down, that He wants to speak into your life, and that you can experience God. And that's why we gather together. It's not meant to stay here. But Jesus wants to walk with you every single day of your life, where you can hear the voice of God, where you open up the Bible and you read the stories of Jesus and He speaks to you. Do you know that God, that's what God wants to do? These can just be words on a page. They can just be stories. But you know, when you open up this Bible on a regular basis and you say, God, I want you to make this living to me. I want you to speak to me. I want to hear your voice. God, what is it that you have to say to me? You can start reading these stories and God becomes real to you and you can experience Him. And you pray to Him and you experience His presence on a daily basis. Oh God, may we not be a people that just have a bunch of head knowledge, but may we be a people that experience God on a regular basis, that we know and we recognize the voice of God. When we look at this one story, especially the story of the man who is healed of his blindness, we see a situation of progressive healing. See a situation of progressive. It's very interesting. It's probably the only story that we read about in the Gospels where Jesus prays for somebody and he's like, so how are you seeing things now? And he's like, I'm seeing things, but like I think these are people, and it just looks like a tree moving around. And Jesus is like, all right, and Jesus laid his hands upon him again and he prayed for him again. Sometimes when we pray for situations in our lives, maybe it's even a relationship. Maybe it's a physical sickness or disease, but it doesn't have to be. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a situation that you're in, and you start praying to God, and you start seeing a little bit of improvement, but you're not seeing it completely solved. Jesus is a great example to us where he's like, pray again. Pray again. All right, we're seeing a little bit of improvement. Jesus, like, I'm going to lay my hands upon you and we're going to pray for you again. Do you see clearer now? I would encourage you, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what things that you're looking for God to come and intervene on your behalf, to not give up, but to keep on praying and saying, man, I'm seeing a little bit of improvement. God, I'm just going to keep on pressing in. I'm going to ask you again, God, can you heal again? Can we see greater improvement? We see this progressive healing. And when we look at the scriptures, we see this aspect called progressive revelation as well. You know, maybe you've grown up in church, maybe you've read the Bible all the way through, and sometimes I see this attitude that says, I've already read it, I know it, I know who Jesus is, I'm good. I'm good. One of the things that, you know, as I get older, and I've someone asked me the other week, you know, as you get older, what are some of your goals? As you head towards your later years, your senior years, what would be your goal? And one of the things in my heart is God, I want to continue to learn. God, I want to continue to grow in my relationship with you. God, I want you to continue to reveal yourself to me. Because God continues to do that. My revelation of who Jesus is continues to grow. Do you know what? God never changes, but we do. God never changes, but we do. Our revelation of who God is continues to grow. When we look in the Bible, we see this aspect of progressive revelation where God starts to reveal himself to this man named Adam. Adam, the very first one. We see the story of God revealing himself to this man named Abraham. You know, when God started talking to Abraham, Abraham wasn't totally sure who God was. Who are you? He didn't have a Bible to refer to. And God, Abraham started to know who God is, and he started to reveal. And then God is progressing. We see the story of God revealing himself to Moses. This progressive revelation of God where the knowledge of God is growing. And then we see the story of David, and we see the prophets, and this knowledge of who God is culminates in Jesus. Culminates in Jesus. And Jesus speaks out to the people, and he says, if you see me, you see God. You know, before Jesus, the prophets would say, you know, this is what God is saying. This is God's communication to you. This is who God is, and this is what his character is like. And they experienced bits and pieces of who God was. It was a little bit fuzzy. They didn't have a clear idea of who God was. Jesus shows up and he says, now I'm here to show you who I really am. And this culmination of progressive revelation ends with Jesus. If you are here in this room today and you're like, man, I've already read the Bible. In fact, maybe I've read Matthew twice or three times. And, you know, I've been to church lots. And I'm good and I'm okay. I want to encourage you that this God who created the universe, who created you so intricately, that scientists and doctors still haven't figured out the human body. Can you believe that? When scientists look at our oceans, they still don't fully understand what's at the bottom of the ocean. They're still discovering things. I was on CTV one day, and I was looking at, and there's this guy in Russia. He's a Russian fisherman, and he obviously trolls very, very deep. He sends his nets deep, and he brings up really strange things out of the bottoms of the ocean, and he's taking pictures of these odd sea creatures that he's finding, and he's posting them on Instagram. And you look at these creatures, and you're like, my goodness, these things are strange. We still haven't even discovered the depths of the ocean. And scientists haven't fully figured out how your body operates. And this is the God who created it. How much more is there of God that we have not discovered? Continue to dig. Continue to want more. Continue to want to know Jesus in a deeper way. Progressive revelation. This man, his sight was completely restored and he could see everything clearly. This other man instantly could hear perfectly, could hear clearly. And his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. You know, in a world where truth seems to be very subjective to people, in a world where it seems to be hard to know exactly what is right and what is wrong, what is truth and what is false, Jesus really, truly wants to come along into our lives and help us see and hear clearly. He really, really does. This last couple weeks, have you seen this thing that has gone viral, this thing called FaceApp? It's this app that you can throw on your phone, you know, where you can take pictures of yourself. And, you know, it's this perfect app for the day and age that we live in, you know, because we love posting pictures of ourselves on Facebook and Instagram. and people are taking photos of themselves, and it's become this viral thing where people, you can take your photo and you can make yourself look older by like 30 or 40 years. Have you seen that? People are posting all these photos of themselves on like Facebook, and it's like, you know, this big joke about, and when you see these photos of people, they look incredibly real. Catherine and I were playing around with it yesterday, taking photos of ourselves and making ourselves look 30 or 40 years older. And I look at that photo, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's my grandpa. I just went and visited my grandfather a couple days ago. He lives in Abbotsford, and he's 102. And man, he just, it's amazing to see, you know, when he sit down, like things are getting more fuzzy for him. His memory's getting a little bit more fuzzy. I wasn't totally sure he fully understood who I was when I was there. But you get him to start telling these stories of his life and his experience with God. And man, that's clear for him. But I'm taking these pictures and I'm making myself look old and I look just like my grandpa. And it looks so real. But it's not. It's kind of fake. Well, it is fake. People take photos of themselves. You can hit make yourself younger as well. So if you have wrinkles, you're like, make myself younger, and you can do that. And people use those to post pictures on Instagram all the time. And you look at photos of people, and you're like, man, that person's beautiful. And you see them in real life, and not so much. Ooh. I'm not pointing out any names here. But in a world that we live in where it's hard to know what is true and what is false, there's a lot of things that I'm willing to be, in terms of my opinion, that are willing to be changed. There's a lot of things that you can change my opinion on. But one thing I know is when Jesus calls out, and you mentioned it this week in the talking point, Cam, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And one thing I know is certain is I say, Jesus, I know that you are the way. When ways in life seem fuzzy, Jesus, I'm going to come back to you because I know that you are the way. When things in life, when I don't know what is true and what is false, and it's sometimes hard to know what is truth today when we read the news, one thing I know is I come back to Jesus and I say, Jesus, I know that you are the truth. Jesus, when there's so many things that we can seek after in this life that claim to give you life. There's so many things. If you just do this, it'll make you younger. If you just do this, you know, if you just eat this, you'll have better health. If you just do this, that, and the other. And no matter what, it just seems like there's so many competing voices. And I just come back to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I know that you are the life. I know, Jesus, that you want to point me towards life. But sometimes, to be honest with you guys, we're not seeing very clearly. In this story of the one man who was deaf, he also had a speech impediment. And I don't know his medical situation. I wasn't there. But it seems to me that oftentimes speech impediments can be connected to our hearing. Not always. But if you're deaf and you can't hear your own voice, it's going to affect your ability to be able to speak clearly. Because you just can't hear yourself. You know, have you ever had that situation where you got the headphones on, you're like listening to music, and then you want to go talk to someone, and like you end up screaming at them? They're like, whoa! You have no idea that you're screaming at them because the headphones are on. Makes me wonder if this guy's speech impediment was connected to his hearing. Sometimes, when we're affected in one way, it affects us in many ways. You know, if we're not hearing the voice of God very clearly, it's going to affect us in other ways, guys. Are you hearing the voice of God clearly? Because if you're not, it can end up leading to other problems in our lives. for not seeing clearly, it's going to end up leading to other issues and problems in your life and my life. One of the things that has become very apparent to me, if I can be totally honest with you, and this is from pastor to like gateway, and I've said this before, but like I lived overseas for many, many years, very out of touch with like Canadian society to a certain degree. And 3 years ago, on July 4th, 3 years ago, we moved back to Canada. And one of the things that strikes me about our culture today, and specifically about church culture, is this fact that like oftentimes it's not something I hear physically, but it's something spiritually I sense, is the sense that we're saying, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm good with where I'm at. Brandon, if you could come forward. When it comes to our spiritual lives, when it comes to our ability to hear the voice of God, when it comes to our ability to see Jesus clearly, I get this sense oftentimes within the Christian community and those who say, I'm a follower of Jesus, the sense where spiritually we're like, I'm okay. I'm good. It's almost like what I said earlier with Catherine. It's like she's nearsighted, but she needs glasses to be able to see far away. But most of the time, she doesn't recognize the fact that she needs those glasses. It's not until she puts those glasses on that she recognizes, oh man, I can see so much clearer now. And I think for many of us, we've been in church for so long, or whatever our journey is, and we've heard the voice of God in the past, but we're at a place today where we're like, we're saying, I'm okay. We're not okay. My heart breaks. Because I really believe Jesus wants to come into our lives and open up our ears so we can hear him clearly again. To take the blinders off our eyes so we can see clearly again. For God to renew that passion within our hearts for him. When Jesus showed up on the scene, he started declaring what he called good news. Declaring good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has arrived, and this is what it looks like. Jesus was declaring the kingdom of God. He was also referring to the fact that there's the kingdoms of this world. There's a culture that is outside of the kingdom of God that works completely opposite from the kingdom of God. And sometimes we're so caught up in the kingdoms of this world that we're more used to the culture of the kingdoms of this world that the kingdom of God becomes really, really blurry to us and we can't see it very clearly anymore. And we think we do, but we don't. We think we're okay, but we're not. And when I say that, I talk about myself too. God, may I never get to a place where I think I'm okay, but truly my heart has grown hard towards you. I'm not hearing your voice anymore. Sometimes we don't want to hear the voice of God. We just want to hear our own voice. And we justify that the things that we want within our own minds. And we need to come back to the voice of God and saying, I'm no longer justifying my actions. I'm no longer justifying my life. Jesus, I want you to speak into my life, even if it hurts. Even if it's awkward. You know, we talked about that awkwardness of Jesus putting his fingers in people's ears and spitting in their eyes and stuff. And sometimes it might seem awkward, but our desire to hear the voice of God and to see him clearly is greater than our fear, than that sense of awkwardness or desire to justify.